Hello, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I'm thrilled to bring you a conversation with Shannon Davies. Shannon is a fellow of the Litigation Council of America, which is a trial lawyer honorary society, and she's a member of the Employment Law Section of the Oklahoma Bar Association. Shannon has been listed as an Oklahoma Super Lawyer and a Super Lawyers Corporate Counsel. She is also a member of the Labor and Employment Law Section, the Litigation Section, the Women in Law Section, and the Law Practice Management Section of the American Bar Association. She's a former member of the Employment Management Association, a professional emphasis group of the Society for Human Resource Management, and was formerly active in the Oklahoma Society of Human Resource Managers. A 1999 graduate of Leadership Edmond, Shannon served as chairman of the Board of Directors of the Leadership Edmond Alumni Association. Shannon was a member of the Board of Directors of the Edmond Chamber of Commerce and served as chairman of the board of the Edmond Chamber in 2005. She served as co-creator and also co-chair of Edmond Chamber of Commerce's Task Force on Women in Business, creating a network of women business owners. Shannon also served as chairman of the Chamber's Finance Committee. She previously served as a trustee of the UCO Foundation. Shannon is a former member of the Executive Women's Forum International. Shannon has served on the Children and the Law Committee of the OBA Young Lawyers Division and the OBA Women in Law Committee. Shannon served on the Board of Directors for the Terry Neese Center for Entrepreneurial Excellence and the Center for Excellence. She also served on the Board of Citizens for Edmond Incorporated. Shannon's law practice emphasizes labor and employment litigation and business litigation. She consults with corporate clients in virtually all areas of employment law, including non-compete agreements, the Fair Labor Standards Act, civil rights litigation, OSHA compliance and litigation, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issues, and employment contract disputes. She works with business and not-for-profit clients, advising them on business matters including contracts, corporate duties, and board of director compliance matters. In addition, she practices in the area of constitutional law. Shannon holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in journalism from the University of Oklahoma and her Juris Doctorate with honors from Oklahoma City University School of Law. Shannon is married and lives in Edmond. Shannon, it's great to have you on the call today.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'd love to just jump into the questions that we have for our time together. And the first of those is a historical look back on your life and your career. I'd like you to maybe think back and decide if you've been always good at, or you feel like you were always adept at, balancing the competing priorities in your life, the work and the life, or the education and the rest of your life. Do you feel like that's something that always came easily to you, or do you feel like there was maybe a critical point or a pivotal moment where things changed and you needed to do something differently in your career, in your life, in both, to have more of a balance that you were seeking?
You know, this may not be the answer everyone is looking for, but I never thought about it. It never crossed my mind that there was that I needed to have a balance. I just did it. You know, you get up in the morning and you have a long list of things to accomplish, and I was excited and am excited about almost all of them. And so I just put my track shoes on in the morning and got going. And so it really, until I hit about 40, it never occurred to me that there was such a thing as a balance. It was all the same for me. You know, I have three children. I have started my own law firm. You know, work really hard, love what I do, still enjoy it a great deal. And until I hit about 40, I don't think I even knew there was such a thing as balance. I just thought it was what it was. And when I hit about 40, I looked around to among all the people that I either live with at home or work with at my office and realized that they were all exhausted. And I asked them, what is going on? And everyone said to me, we can't keep up with you. We don't have the ability, we don't have the same speed or capacity that you have. And it dawned on me that it wasn't necessarily me I needed to create a balance so that everyone else who was around me could be balanced. And that didn't happen until I hit about 40, and I don't know exactly what that was, but there was a eureka moment there when I looked around the people who I work with and realized they needed me to learn how to balance.
That's so interesting. And like you said, it's not a typical answer where you just sort of did it and didn't think about it, but actually decided to start doing more balance, thinking more conscientiously about it because of the folks around you.
Yes, and that's exactly why I did it. I mean, it was becoming difficult for my family at home, and my partners were, I don't know, perhaps becoming exasperated with the I just have a lot of energy. There's a lot going on for me, and so I didn't feel the need for the balance, but I grew up enough, I guess, to recognize that others around me needed me to do that. And so, you know, at 40, I began to make some changes in what I was doing to create balance for others. And it's been frustrating for me, I have to be honest with you, but good for everyone else. And so we've managed to work it out.
Can you think of some examples? I mean, just as you're saying, it was frustrating to the folks around you, be it in your practice or at home. What are some places where you felt that you needed to create some balance to support them or to be more fully present for them in different ways, but that maybe you wouldn't have done had it not seemed that they needed that kind of effort from you?
I think I did it in two different ways. At the office, my I shouldn't share this, but I'm going to. My nickname at the office is the Tornado.
And that's a terrible
nickname. I used to think that was kind of cute, and it dawned on me that they meant it. And then at home, my family, we're all very active. I mean, everyone in the family is a high-energy individual. But there was a lot of crankiness and everyone being tired and feeling as if we weren't being able to complete the projects that we needed to complete. And what I did is I made a commitment to, you know, work at the office from like 6:30 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And then I would be present at home with my children when they got home from school. I would pick them up and bring them home, and I would be present with them for the remainder of the day. That also, I think, relieved a little bit of the stress at the office because everyone had a little bit of downtime to do what they wanted to do. And I learned, I guess, what I did was I learned how to delegate a little bit better and give a lot more freedom to the associates that I work with to get their own projects done in their own way that they wanted to do them. And I think both of those things helped a lot. I just sort of divided my time. I'm here from 6:30 to 3 at the office, and then I'm home from 3 until the end of the evening. Now, I think that helped a lot for just about everybody.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, and again, it sounds like you're being responsive to what your family needed from you or what some folks at the office needed from you, or maybe when they didn't need you at the office and you could get in, get done what you need to get done, and then check out and go home and be more present with your family.
Yes, yes. Now, I have to tell you, though, I do have, you know, an office at home, and I can still be at home and work as needed, and I do that. I mean, it's not like I'm completely shut off either place, but, you know, I am able to work from home as well, and sometimes it's nice to do that. I get away from everyone, and they get away from me, and everyone gets a break.
Y'all get a break from each other.
Yes.
Shannon, what would you say as you think back, and maybe it's that since 40, when you realized that you needed to start making some of those changes, if not for yourself, for the people around you who wanted to experience you in a different way and their relationship with you, what would you say has been your biggest challenge in that process or the hardest thing that you've come up against or struggled with in trying to be more balanced? As you said, it was kind of frustrating. So what was it that was hard about that?
Well, there are two things. One, at the office, you know, being a lawyer is a 24-hour-a-day job, and stepping away and not actually being at the office was difficult for all of us for a while. You know, I'm not working as many hours as I was at the office, and there was a little bit of irritability among some of the partners because of that, and that's understandable. I can certainly appreciate that. A little bit of frustration with, you know, where am I? Why am I not available? Why can't they reach me right away? That sort of thing after a period of time. And I think that took a little bit of adjusting for everyone, and that was definitely a struggle. And then at home, this is kind of funny, the struggle is driving my incredibly active children all over God's green earth to get to their various and sundry projects every day. So, I mean, I've got like a 2.5-hour window in the afternoon where we're actually driving them to whatever place they need to be, and I'm on my cell phone talking to clients. And that was a big struggle. And I finally said, that has to stop. Nobody is dying from 3 o'clock to 5 when I'm really interacting with my children, and I'll pick up back at 5. And that took a while. Anytime you change your structure or how you do something, it's frustrating. But it works out great now. I'm a lot older now, and I've been doing it for a while, and it's working fine. But that was definitely two areas of struggle.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, there's so much going on and a big change for you in that window, that 3 to 5 window or whatever you decide it was going to be, to really try to disconnect and be there for your kids, and also, you know, try to serve your clients as best you can, which is sometimes hard to do when you've got kids in the back seat or you're on the road and trying to figure out how to make that work.
You know, it was funny, though. I assumed my clients would all be very unhappy if they heard my kids in the background while I was talking to them on the phone. And I discovered that a lot of them were doing the same thing I was. I could hear their kids in the back. And they would finally say, you know, oh, by the way, I'm also in my car picking up so-and-so from whatever. And I'd say, me too. Let's connect as much as we can now, but we'll reconvene at a quiet time as well. But it was kind of liberating to hear that I was not the only one who was picking up their children or trying to make that time work in the afternoon and evening.
I think sometimes we try to hide that, or we shush our children, or we're like, be quiet, I'm on the phone, and try to hide it from whoever we're talking to. And like you said, sometimes they're in the same spot, or they're going to go do the same thing in about a half hour, and they understand. And it's almost easier to explain it, because then if we are slightly distracted, if we have to say, could you hold on just for a second, they understand. They don't think we're just disconnecting from them or not paying attention. They know that we've got some kids in the car and we're just trying to do the best we can. So I think sometimes it's hard to be upfront about that because we don't want to admit it, but in the long run, our clients understand a little bit more what we're doing, so they can appreciate the way we're interacting and the way we're serving them.
Yes, and I've also found it's a way to bond with a number of my clients, both male and female. You know, you have that opportunity to get personal with them about, oh, you know, Johnny is on his way to baseball practice, and oh, he hit a home run yesterday, and you have that connection with the client then that I think is more personal and helps you be more productive on your business level. So that was a surprise to me, to have that ability to be that way with my clients. But I do try not to have communication with them during that period of time when I want to be just absolutely present with my kids.
Well, and as you said, if you can try to do that, you know, for you it's 6:30 to 3 or 3:30 or however it works, but and then shut off sort of the work and check in with the kids and do what you need to do with them. And then if you need to come back online later or follow up or find that quiet moment, it works. But setting some boundaries around the work time and the family time seem to support everyone, as you just seem to discover.
Yes, I think it does.
Shannon, what would you say if those are the biggest challenges that you faced in trying to create the balance, what would you say has been your biggest lesson or something that you've learned or a skill you've acquired or some almost philosophy you've learned from someone else? What would you say has been that biggest lesson that's helped you since you started on this path to create more balance in your life?
There are three things, and you know, two of them are just personal, you know, revelations about myself that I hadn't fully appreciated until recently. And then, you know, one of them is, you hear this all the time, and that's surround yourself with exceptional, extraordinary people. Every member of my firm is an exceptional, extraordinary person in a number of different ways. But I think if you surround yourself with those kinds and quality of people, you just raise yourself up, and you have, there's so much more synergy and energy and positive thought and productive behavior and, you know, all those things that you need. And so that's one of the biggest lessons. And I've always been blessed and lucky to be surrounded by, you know, just fabulous minds and good quality people. And for that, I'm very thankful. But that's your biggest lesson. Just, you know, push your way up. Find somebody who's better at you than everything you do, and watch them and be with them and develop those skills that they have. And another one I touched on is, one of my biggest lessons was discovering that other people don't move at the pace that I move at, and learning to moderate that pace so that others can feel less, you know, frustrated or concerned has been a big lesson for me. And another one is, and I've discovered over the years that people don't view the world the same way I do. I don't know if you've ever heard of the color test, you know, blue, green, gold, and orange. And orange people, I'm apparently one of them. I tend to have my head up in the clouds. I don't see the ground. I don't realize that nobody told me there was a box. I, when people say I'm an outside-the-box thinker, I always say, no one, I didn't even know there was a box. Okay. So learning a little self-discovery that the way I see things and perceive events or issues or you know, work balance issues, that I perceive them so differently, has been very, it's been a really strong lesson. Aha, let's see how someone else perceives the same issue that's coming up, and you know, really listen carefully to that. That's been a big lesson for me. And it cracks me up that I think so differently, but now I realize that I do, and it's, I go, oh, that's why you didn't want to follow me to this direction the first time I suggested it. So those would be the three that I would say.
Sometimes it seems like getting to know ourselves, I mean, tests like that or assessments or just things, and even in the workplace, sometimes there's team building activities or other assessments that folks on a team will take and realize, wow, you have these attributes or these strengths,
right,
or these characteristics, and I have these, and no wonder we were, you know, disagreeing on this, or we
exactly
were really agreeing, or whatever, and we forget. It's so hard to get out of our own head because we only know ourselves and our own perspective, but like you said, when you can realize that other people are wired so different than we are sometimes, and sometimes that does create frustration because we're talking in just two different languages at times.
Yes.
But it's great to have the self-knowledge, and also sometimes when you're working closely, even with maybe a spouse or maybe partners at your firm, to encourage them to do a little bit of assessment as a team-building activity so that you know, this is how I operate. You know, for you, your head's kind of in the clouds and you think outside the box. Someone else is completely analytical, feet on the ground, and, you know, if you know that about each other, you can respect and maybe integrate what the other one is suggesting so much easier.
Exactly. And my whole firm has done the color test, and it was so much fun to do and a great revelation. And we've always been close, but it even made our relationship better because you had that aha when you're communicating with someone who's completely analytical, start from this place. And it was just, you know, added to our cohesiveness, but it was fun to do. And it was interesting to learn that you only need one orange person in every organization, and I'm it.
And it's you.
It's me.
You only need one orange tornado running around
exactly
the office.
Exactly.
At least I can appreciate you a little bit more, knowing that you're their orange, you're their token orange person.
Yes.
Shannon, and those are just three great lessons, and all cover something very different. And I also just love the first one you mentioned in terms of surrounding yourself with people who compel you to be better and to move closer to the person you want to be, people who you can model or learn from or who are just so extraordinary in their own right that you don't want to be the one playing small, and so you strive to catch up. Have you always had those kind of people in your lives, in your life in different ways?
I absolutely. My parents are extraordinary people. I come from a long line of outside-the-box thinkers, people who push themselves hard. You know, there's no, not that we're not comfortable with ourselves or we don't honor ourselves, but just this desire always to build something new or be something different or, you know, just be fully present all the time in everything that you're doing. You know, we've got my uncle is a, great uncle was a rocket scientist, and we all said, well, you know, it ought to all be rocket science, don't you think? And so that's kind of how we are. And my family is also very artistic. We all are singers and actors and writers and dancers, and we honor exploration of both sides of the brain. And so, yeah, and I think all my life I've tried to, even outside my family unit, locate someone that I just am so attached to for some. Either they're extremely bright or capable of tried something new or any of those things. I've just always been interested in that in my firm. I've got some amazing, extraordinary individuals who've done just tremendously beautiful things either in their business practice or their, you know, their social work outside the office or just in their family. Really, I mean, I could go on. I probably should stop it. There are just, I've been lucky in that regard, but I've also tried to find it and to make sure that I'm surrounded by it, and I think I am.
And as you said, sometimes we're lucky enough or blessed enough to have those people that we find ourselves among. And I encourage people to take credit for that. Like, you found your way to that group of people because of the person you were as well. But sometimes we're not so fortunate. And then, as you said, sometimes we have to seek those people out because the people around us, they're good people, and we enjoy them and we respect them, but in terms of people who will really challenge us and bring out the best in us, sometimes we need to look outside of that. Maybe there is a mentor outside of our firm that we can connect with, or an organization that brings out the best in us and surrounds us with different people who are extraordinary in their own right. But sometimes we're lucky enough to just be surrounded by them naturally, as you were even, it sounds like, from your family of origin, the family you grew up with. But sometimes we have to look outside the box and look outside of where we are to find the people who are going to bring us to that next level.
Yes, I think you have to. Staying in one place doesn't seem like a very happy situation.
No, exactly. It's there's always that way of improving ourselves, that encouragement to improve ourselves. I think that's, as human beings, we strive to do that, or at least many people do. You know, we want to be better at what we're doing. We want to be better lawyers, better mothers, better partners, healthier. You know, that's why libraries and books, and there's so much information that we can access just to improve ourselves. And I think that when we stop trying to develop ourselves or improving ourselves, it just sucks the fun out of living and trying to become a more full expression of who we are.
Yeah. No, it's not good to suck the fun out of your day.
No, it's not.
Would not recommend that, no.
No, especially when sometimes there's not very much in there in the first place, so don't.
Well, especially if you practice law, you know, always dealing with everyone's trauma, and I'm like, okay, let's find something happy to do today.
Find a little bit of fun somewhere, even if you have to inject it in yourself.
Yes.
Shannon, what would you say then, and you've given three beautiful big lessons or philosophical ways of thinking about things or viewing the people around you and yourself in regards to them. I'm wondering if there's maybe two or three strategies or tips or tools that you have found that have worked for you. I mean, maybe they're tactical things or tools such as, you know, computer technology or different hands-on type tools, or again, maybe just ways of thinking about things that have served you. But what are some things that you think might be quick and easy to implement for someone who's listening or reading these words, just things that are a little more strategic?
I don't know how practical any of these are, but these are things that I do that work for me. I start every day reminding myself, I guess is the better way to look at it, that joy is a thing that you can nurture. And so first thing I do when I wake up, I sing a song that makes me happy in my head, and then I remind myself that I will have a joyful day. And that's, you know, it's an affirmation. I will have a joyful day, and I will bring joy to everyone I meet. I try to do that every day. I'm not perfect at it. There are some days I grumble and don't have a good day, but I just try to say to myself, you know, this is going to be a wonderful, joyful experience. Something beautiful will happen somewhere today. I expect it. So I kind of start my day that way. I want to have a light heart. I want to have a spring in my step, you know, in the morning, and that helps me. Of course, I also have coffee. That is and the other one that it took me a while to figure out is you don't have to do everything at one time. You know, you don't. You know, I finished my first novel. I'm working on a second. You know, but I didn't do that when I was 20, while I was getting my law firm started. You know, I didn't do that while I was having my children. I thought about it every day because I really wanted to do it. But you don't have to do everything at one time. I think it's okay for, you know, a man or a woman, but particularly women, to say, you know, I finished law school, I've worked for a couple of years, I want to start a family, and I'm not sure I want to do both at the same time. I think it's perfectly okay to do one now and the other later. I think that's probably a healthy way to, you know, give yourself permission to make choices. And that, I think, of course, I didn't do that. I did them all at the same time. But you don't have to do everything at the same time. You know, obviously I didn't start writing the book until later, but, you know, do what fits your needs now, and do as many as you can comfortably do and feel happy about at one time. And I tell all the younger associates in my office, you know, especially the women that are getting ready to have children, I say, you know, do the thing that brings you the greatest joy. And you have to start there. And if it's being a stay-at-home mom, that's awesome. If you want to find a way to do both the practice of law and be a stay-at-home mom, you can do that. There's a way to accomplish that. You don't have to be 190% in everything you do all the time. I think that burns a lot of people out. So those, I guess those are my top two or three strategies. Just, you know, do what you are comfortable with and be happy when you wake up in the morning.
and drink some coffee along with it. No.
Yes, absolutely. The Starbucks in the morning is pretty critical for me.
That also helps. That helps with the spring and the step. But I do, I love, but I think it starts before that for you. It starts the minute you maybe don't even open your eyes, but you kind of come to consciousness and think, today is going to be a joy-filled day. And I love how you said, and I'm going to bring joy to the people I meet, everyone I meet, because then you're sharing that. You're bringing that to other people, to your clients, to people at your firm, to your family that you encounter in the morning, pre or post Starbucks. You know, you're trying you're trying to bring that joy to others.
Yeah, I do.
And when we try to do that to others, you know, it's one of those things that we can't help but experience it ourselves, because we're trying to share joy, we're trying to be joyful, and thus we make ourselves more joyful, more happy in the process. But it's a beautiful way to start the day. And as you said, it doesn't always go that way. We run into bumps and thumps along the way, but if we can start the day expecting it to be a good day and knowing that we're going to do the best we can to make it that way, I think our odds greatly improve of actually experiencing that.
I agree. I completely agree.
Shannon, before we wrap up, I'd like to invite you to let folks know a little bit more about your firm, maybe share a firm website or anything else that you're up to. You mentioned your book. Just let folks know what you're up to and how to connect with you in the future.
My law firm is called Lester, Loving, and Davies, and we are in Edmond, Oklahoma, which is about 15 miles north of Oklahoma City in a suburban area. We actually left the big downtown building law firm practice for Edmond with a little trepidation a few years ago and discovered, you know, global economy and all that sort of thing, that it made no difference in our practice at all. In fact, our practice has grown and grown and grown here. We started with three. We have, I think, 14 lawyers now, and we continue to add one or two a year. And our firm does everything. We, I think you noticed in the opening bio, constitutional law, that's actually my all-time favorite area of practice. Anything having to do with civil rights is such a, talk about a joyful area of practice to, you know, to get into the minutiae of the Constitution and deal with that is great fun. But our firm handles everything. We have a business litigation practice. We have wills and estates. We even do criminal law. We have a divorce practice. We have just about anything you want for a firm to do, we can do. And we work, we have clients all over, you know, the country. We're not just here. And one of our little taglines is from your house to the White House. We've actually, one of my partners has appeared before Congress with several of our clients and done some work there. And we do projects for people who need just small matters and want good counsel. So that's the kind of work we do. And on to my favorite current topic, my new book. I just finished my first novel. It's called Hunting License. It's a legal thriller, and I am hopeful that I will be getting an agent soon. I'm talking with someone in New York City right now who seems to like it quite a bit. And I've started my second novel, which is called Liquor License. It's a series.
Neat. Oh, that's wonderful.
I know. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
How long did it take you to write the first one?
You know, in terms of actual time, 6 months. In terms of when I did it, I was chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. That took a full year. So there's a break here and there where I wasn't actually writing it as much as I would like to. Now, the new one, Liquor License, I just sit down and write for an hour or so every day, and it takes about 6 months really to get the first draft in good shape. That's the usual amount of time, but and it's fun. I really enjoy doing that. I need that creative outlet. It relaxes me.
Is that kind of a hobby that you, would you say that that's the hobby, is writing? Is that something that de-stresses you and allows you to disconnect from other things?
I really want to make it more than a hobby. I'm hoping to make that a second career. I would really like to be a published author and work in that area. In terms of what really de-stresses me, I run, and I paint. I do landscapes, abstracts, and I have quite a bit of a following in that area, believe it or not. So what really makes me feel comfortable and relaxed is viewing the color on the canvas.
So you do come from a line of artistic folks. It sounds
yes.
And you're a bit of a Renaissance woman, which I love.
Either that or I'm a tornado, which is what I hear more often.
A little bit of both. you can take it however. Let them call you Renaissance woman, tornado, whatever it takes.
Exactly.
But you found what works for you, and that's what matters.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, Shannon, is there anything else that you'd like to share? If another, if you could envision another woman attorney sitting there and you were imparting just some of your information and knowledge to her, any last words that you'd want to share with her?
You know, I always tell people who are, especially women who are interested in a legal career, I think it's the best career ever for a woman. I think we're so suited toward it. We're intellectually, you know, capable of seeing things in a way that men don't always see. And I think it just brings so many opportunities for women. There are so many different ways to practice law. There are so many different ways to use that degree. And I've always encouraged women to do it. I mean, find what works for you in law and do it. It's such a wonderful, challenging career to be in. And I think that's what I would say to people. Be honored that you have the ability to work in this great profession. It's really a joy.
I think that's it. Beautiful words to share, because sometimes it doesn't feel that way.
And I
can remind ourselves of that, though, that it is an honor and we can do great work.
Yes.
Well, Shannon, I thank you so much for your time today and for your words and for your transparency and honesty about yourself and your journey, your process, and what makes you tick, and sharing your tornado and your color test and those things with us as well. Because it's great to hear. It's great to hear. We're all wired differently, and we all find joy in different things, and sometimes it does take a little bit of that out-of-the-box thinking in order to help us create the kind of life and legal practice that we really want. So thank you so much for your time and your just being here today.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed visiting with you. It's been fun.
For me as well. Thank you. Well, with that, we'll wrap up our time with Shannon and this conversation. I hope and trust that anyone listening to these words or reading them will find something that resonates in her heart and means something to her that will help her improve your life and your law practice and have the best of both. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine with WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thanks again for being here today. Bye-bye.